You can see from the title of your bulletin today, we celebrate the fifth Sunday in Lent. Now, for some of us, that's a good thing, because many of us are simply marking the time until we can eat all the stuff we gave up for Lent again. And while that is frequently the way we tell the passing of time by how it has an impression and an implication for us individually, we also tell time as a community. So today, the fifth Sunday of Lent, if we go back to the old day, back in the day, as we say, we would see in the liturgical calendar that there was a time when this was not the fifth Sunday in Lent, but the first Sunday in Passiontide. Today it was known as Passion Sunday. The vestments would have been read, and all of the prayers and the lessons would have turned their attention away from our Lenten fasts and observances and begun to focus our attention on those events in that ancient city of Jerusalem so many years ago that resulted in the passion and the death of Jesus. Well, we don't wear red vestments anymore, and we've changed the nomenclature of the Sunday, but if we are attentive to the readings that we use and the prayers we say, that hasn't changed at all. So in a very real way, only the dressing up has changed a little. And so it is important for us then to focus our attention on really what's important, and that remains at the very core of what we observe and commemorate, celebrate today. So while we will call it the fifth Sunday in Lent, let us remember it as the first Sunday of Passiontide. And so it is no wonder, if we keep that in mind, that Jesus in the gospel lesson is now turning his own attitude, his own perspective, to what is about to happen to him. And it's very interesting the way Jesus is having this little dialogue in the gospel lesson, because all of a sudden he's talking about this awful thing that is about to happen to him. And he says in that gospel lesson, we heard him say, "Is it right for me to say, 'Father, save me from this hour?'" He says, "No, it's for this very purpose that I came." And so we need to see the passion and death of Jesus as an essential part of our identity as disciples of Jesus. Our identity as disciples of Jesus. "It is for this very hour that I came. Should I pray to God, let it pass away?" Now, we know that Jesus did pray that. We all know the story, the gospel that is given to us as Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane on that first Maundy Thursday so many years ago. How Jesus, with the imminent coming of those that would arrest him and everything that would follow, earnestly prays that perhaps this may not be necessary. Jesus, after all, was fully human, we believe. And so any one of us confronted with this magnificent work, magnificent with a small m, not a glorious thing at all, would be petrified. We'd be afraid. And so Jesus experienced that as well. So even though in his heart of hearts he realizes that he has something to do, that's what we hear about today, just on the cusp of it, he tries to steel himself to realize and to really ask God if this is right, if this is really what he wants him to do. So, here we are. Jesus turning his face to Jerusalem, realizing that the end is near, And the disciples, again, as so often happens, not having a clue. Maybe that's the way we are too sometimes. So Jesus goes on and he teaches a bit, as Jesus is wont to do most of the time. And he talks about this thing called the world. Now, we often talk about that here in church. We talk about the values of the world and the values of the kingdom. We talk about gospel values and the values of our earthly life. We make those distinctions rather easily and rather cleanly, or so we think. But there is a theologian who's been writing lately, and I give you some of his work in today's bulletin. When we say, read this gospel lesson differently, wherever you see the world, insert the system. The system. And it becomes very concrete. It isn't some abstract thought, but rather is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Because he's saying that the values of this world, the values of the system, are not the values that give life. They're not the values that bring forgiveness and mercy. They're not the values that encourage compassion. But rather, they are values more often than not that focus on the self and advancement and lording it over others. These are the ways of the system. These are the way of the world. And Jesus says, that system is about to be judged. The ruler of that system is about to be cast out. And he will do it by his death on the cross. Well, how is that possible, we may ask? Well, you see, Jesus on one level could have resorted to the values of the world, the values of the system. And in fact, that's where his disciples were. They wanted him to call upon the angels that were at his disposal. They wanted him to rally the troops and throw off the oppression of the Romans. They wanted him to purge their religious system and make it pure again. Jesus does not follow that route. Because I think Jesus understands that when we are co-opted by the system, co-opted by the world, and we accept the values of the system, the value of the world as our own, we are no different than the world. And in fact, we have undermined the very power of the kingdom of God. We're not the only ones who see that in Jesus. Many others do as well. And in fact, many others in other times and places have understood this very, very well. Perhaps some of us might remember, at least in our study of recent history, Mahatma Gandhi, who was able to stand against one of the greatest empires in the world and work out the independence of his people without entering any system of violence. By simply standing for the values of human life, by simply calling others to a life of integrity, he was able to let people know what was happening. And those who truly sought to be individuals of goodwill, those who sought to be true disciples of God, Christ, saw this, and they began to undermine that great imperial system, which was, in many ways, a system of oppression that was maintained by a system of violence. We see that, perhaps, for many of us in our own experience, not 4 or 5 decades ago, when in the Deep South, tremendous segregation and bigotry, racism, was part of people's lives. It was part of the system. And it was by standing against that without entering into it that leaders like Martin Luther King Jr. were able to begin the process that eventually upended it and transformed it into what we now call the civil rights movement, which is still at work today and still needs a lot of work to be accomplished. You know, what's going on there? Gandhi and King took the example of Jesus very intentionally. They said this, that Jesus stood against the system by not taking on its values for himself. The church has not been very faithful to that over the years. We can look at church history and we see how the church itself, in order when they saw power within their grasp, perhaps thinking positively that if we get that power, we can make tremendously positive changes in the world. But the minute you enter into the system grabs hold of you and tears you down. All we need to do is look at the bitter wars fought in the name of Christianity. The 30 Years' War, the 100 Years' War, you keep moving through history and you have Christians fighting one another. When monarchs changed religions, great purges occurred, tortures, all in the name of Christ. It's not the kingdom, that's the world at work. And so we have, in our modern day, people like Gandhi, people like King, standing against the system and saying, this isn't the way. And showing that as the system tries to oppress again, it becomes so horribly obvious that if we are people of integrity on any level, we begin to think again and we begin to try to reorder our priorities and we begin to wonder where our values really are. And when we hear the words of Holy Scripture teach us, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there also your heart will be, we begin to think again and we move toward that change of life, that repentance that Jesus calls us to. What happens in our own day too? Who do we look around? Who do we see standing against the system in this day? Is it someone like Gandhi? Is it someone like King? Think again. Look again. They are mere children. Children are standing up against the system and saying, no more. This cannot happen anymore. Fear, violence, these are the tools of the system. These are the tools of the world, and this will no longer govern our lives. They are mere children. And they are telling us, the ones who control the levers of power, that you're not working anymore. That you're leading us down a pathway to destruction. They're causing us to step back and look again and say, whoa, wait, who are we? What are we really about? Children who, by their own estimation, say we have nothing to lose. They're not invested in the system for the most part. They don't lose anything by standing up and speaking truth to others, truth to power. They lose nothing. But on one level, they have everything to lose. And I think in their heart of hearts, in their innocence, they realize where that balance must come. Where are we? We're not on any particular issue. This isn't about issues in our politics. This is about whether we ascribe to the values of the world the values of the system or the values of the kingdom. And if we ascribe to the values of the kingdom, then we cannot be any different than Jesus. If we claim to be disciples, to be followers of Jesus, we must walk the same path. We cannot find the life of the resurrection without experiencing the sufferings of the cross. To do otherwise is to say, we are better than God. To do otherwise says, the system is better than the kingdom. It's time for us, as disciples, to sort it out. That's what Jesus is saying in today's gospel lesson when he says, this world is already condemned, and the ruler of this world will be cast out. Oh, it's not some abstract thing that happened 2,000 years ago. It's happening in our lives even as we sit here. God is always at work in us and always at work in the world he created. His grace is all around us. The kingdom is all around us. All we need to do is put off our attachments to this world and begin to think like Jesus. To begin to think and to act out of the values of the kingdom of God. Gandhi, King, our own children, Jesus. That's what the church, when it calls us into Passion Tide, bids us to think of. To reflect on. Where are we in this journey to Jerusalem? Where are we in this journey to the cross? If we truly desire the glory of the resurrection, then first we must accept the glory of the cross. Not gilded and clean, not sanitized with fancy terms, but in its basic reality. When we conduct war, for example, we often now use a wonderful phrase, collateral damage, as if somehow when we dropped a bomb somewhere and there was collateral damage, we think, well, maybe somebody's building got torn down by mistake. That sometimes is what it means. But now we've applied it not to buildings and things, we've applied it to people. Human beings like you and like me are killed innocently, and we simply call them collateral damage. That's the way of the world, because it allows us to hide from the reality. That's why Jesus walks to the cross. That's why Jesus lays down his life in submission, because there is no question. There is no sanitized term for it. It's real, it's bloody, it's human, and it's without question. So must it be with us. If we accept and hold on to the ways of the world, and we use nice-sounding terms like collateral damage so that we don't need to confront the realities of the system of the world, then we will miss the point of Jesus' mission. If, on the other hand, we confront the realities of those values and we reject them utterly and say, no, I stand with Jesus, well, then we must be willing then to accept what Jesus did as what can happen to us, as it did happen to Gandhi and to King and to the hundreds of children innocently slain in our society. These are the martyrs, and they stand in stark witness between the world and the kingdom of God. Where do you find yourself? Where will you go this year? Whose path will you follow? For Jesus calls to follow Jesus.